We have a bumper post bag this week, so here's Phil to read the first letter.
We heard earlier about the so-called snowflakes at County Hall. Steve McIndoe of Denver, a regular evening news correspondent, thinks the staff should buckle down and support the new regime. Change is coming, so accept it. The headline, revealing an undercurrent of dissent among staff at County Hall after the new reform regime started tweaking things as they press home their new political advantage, makes for interesting reading. Clearly miffed by Reform's radical campaign to get staff focused on the desk-bound day jobs, which we pay them to do, rather than airing their personal preferences and ideologies, some, it seems, are fomenting rebellion and actively resisting the new leadership. From my simple perspective, it appears we need to decide whether we're going to allow the tail to wag the dog, or whether democracy must hold sway. And as council taxpayers voted in droves to see Reform's vision become reality, I believe we cannot have our employees chuntering around the water cooler, grumbling and undermining their new bosses. Times change, and while staff condemn the loss of working from home privileges, it's plain this post-COVID practice in general results in poor performance and diminishing productivity. People don't like change, but change is coming. And frankly, staff are duty-bound to knuckle down and support the new politics and leave their private agendas at home, where they always should have belonged. End of.
Mrs. Dawn Gibson of Fakenham agrees. She says, whilst I do not agree with politics in local councils, as councillors should be elected for the good of the area they are representing, not for point scoring for their parties. But the behaviour of the staff at County Hall astounds me. Surely civil servants should know if they have a complaint about a work-related problem to take this to HR or their union and hopefully get it resolved. But to act like children stamping their feet in the playground is just ludicrous. If all else fails and the staff are still not happy, they can leave their jobs. And as there are plenty of people out there looking for employment, these positions would soon be filled. Myself and many others who contribute to the wages paid to County Hall employees should expect better behaviour from them.
The proposal to turn the Debenhams building into a soft play area does not impress Norma Broadest of Norwich. She thinks it should be a safe haven for the homeless. Seriously? Norwich is not Blackpool or Great Yarmouth, though long may they reign with their particular genre of family entertainment. We, along with other areas, have an increasing problem of homeless young people needing guidance towards a brighter future. Partnered with Centrepoint London, the Debenhams building could become a safe haven and a Centrepoint Norwich. It needs an entrepreneur with a heart for young people and not how rich they themselves could become. Any volunteers out there? It could be the beginning of the end of street sleepers in the future. If only someone was brave enough to take the plunge.
Michael Gamble of Bingham has another suggestion. Demolish the building and replace it with a city centre park. I read with interest the latest proposals for the former Debenhams store. One can't fail to realise what an eyesore this building is on our fine city. With no obvious use for it, the most sensible course of action would be to demolish the building and turn the area into a city centre park. How wonderful to be able to walk from the Haymarket to Timberhill through a tree-lined area.
Paul Milner of Sheringham wrote in before the final decision on the Sheringham bus shelter was announced, but it seems he'll be pleased with the outcome. Scruffy Sheringham. I should say so, but it's not for want of trying at least. So far as the promenade concrete shelters are concerned. In 2014, after discussions with Tony Turner, then surveyor at North Norfolk District Council, I surveyed the east and west shelters and we subsequently carried out a full concrete repair and protective coating package. This was to be phase one, with the top deck and railings to follow. Unfortunately, Mr. Turner was made redundant, and his successors at North Norfolk District Council showed zero interest in continuing with the works. This was despite explaining, more than once, reinforced concrete structures in an exposed chloride-laden environment need special care, since chloride attack is well known and prevails in coastal environments. I've watched in dismay as they allowed the works we carried out to slowly deteriorate. As for the Battle of the Bus Shelter, this was surely a battle that never was. To describe it as beloved implies it was some sort of architectural masterpiece, not a basic 1950s utilitarian brick bus shelter. Some 500 protesters virtually scuppered the whole Ottendorf Green development, putting it into jeopardy, leaving the town with a building site. I suspect the rest of the town's 7,000 residents hope the original plan gets the thumbs up.
Finally, we have two letters about bird feeding. Richard Walker of Dereham wrote in to say how much he enjoys feeding the garden birds. I remember Peter Kemp's letter of some weeks ago suggesting we should feed the birds in our gardens. I have great pleasure in seeing them in my garden, so I regularly top up the feeders and a good supply of mealworms with fresh water available in the shade. One morning a family of blue tits came to the feeder of sunflower hearts. It was such a joy to watch, as another family came as well, and this was certainly quite an exciting event, as there were at least 8 or 9 blue tits, including the young ones, weaving in and out of the bushes and feeders. It was such a wonderful pleasure to watch, and makes every effort of feeding them well worthwhile.
There was a rapid response to Richard Walker's letter from Leslie Nelson in Hempnell. Crucial bird feeding advice. As I read the letter from Richard Walker about how he loved feeding his garden birds, my heart sank like a lead weight. He talked about the pleasure of seeing a family of blue tits enjoying the sunflower hearts. Surely Mr. Walker must have seen the highly publicised advice from the RSPB and BTO that we should not be feeding seeds to our garden birds between May and November. 1st of May to 31st of October. In the last 50 years, the UK population of greenfinches has declined by around 70%, in part due to trichomonosis, a horrid, highly contagious fatal illness that's caught in areas where lots of birds congregate. Other garden birds, mainly finches, are also on the decline due to this. Many different species gather around seed feeders during the summer months, so putting these feeders away will drastically reduce the chance of infection. If you feel you must feed them during this time, then only use either plain suet pellets or mealworms, as these attract a much reduced variety of birds and crucially don't attract finches. Going back to seeds over the winter is acceptable, as many of our summer visitors have flown for the season. Other important advice to protect our more vulnerable species is to thoroughly clean bird feeders at least once a week throughout the year. Do not use table feeders, and bird baths should be cleaned daily. If Mr. Walker does get so much pleasure from watching his garden birds, he must take his seed feeders down to make sure there are still garden birds left for future generations to enjoy.